Joy to be back in the Lord's house again this evening.
Amen.
I do thank the Lord for His many blessings upon us, for all that He's done for us, and allowing us to be back in His house tonight. The Lord sure is good to us.
Yes, He is, my friend. Yes, He is.
Let me say that one more time and give you another opportunity to back me up on that. The Lord sure is good to us.
Yes,
He sure is good to us.
Yes, sir.
He's better than we deserve.
You're right.
And if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell already. But I am able to be in the house of God tonight and proclaim His goodness. Not because anything that I've done, but just because of who He is. Just because He saw fit to love me so, as they sang a little while ago. All because He loved me. I bless His name for that tonight. I do appreciate you being here in the Lord's house. Good to have my family with us here tonight. Appreciate them coming this way. And we love them dearly and thank God for them. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's look for the thought the Lord has laid on our heart. The book of Psalms, chapter number 104. The 104th Psalm this evening. And I want to lift one verse out of this psalm and preach that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. The 104th psalm tonight, when you found that, let's stand to our feet, if you would please, to honor the Word of God and to reverence it in the building tonight. Amen. Good to see Brother Pace back there, brother. Good to see you in the building tonight. Appreciate you being here. Psalms 104, let's look down in verse number 16. Psalms 104 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted." Father, as we bow this evening and call on Your name, I do thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house tonight. And I thank You for each and every one that has come this way, Lord. Dear God, tonight You know the hearts and the lives of Your people. Lord, You know the needs that are in this building tonight. And Lord, we know that You're fully able and fully capable, Lord, of doing exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think in Your name. I ask You this evening, Lord, that You'd move among us. I pray the good Holy Ghost of God would walk the aisles of Halfway Baptist Church one more time. Lord, I pray You'd convict hearts. I pray You would touch in lives as You see fit. Lord, we're just a vessel that needs filling, Lord. God, would You fill us, and then would You allow us to be poured out unto these Your people. Help tonight, Lord, if there's one among us that doesn't know You. Oh, God, draw them tonight to an altar of repentance. May they call upon You and accept You as Lord and Savior of their life. We love You this evening, and we thank You in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. In this 104th Psalm, the psalmist says that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Lord, would help us tonight. I want to preach for a little while on those trees of the Lord, and in particular about that sap that they are to be full of. I don't believe that it's a stretch in any way to compare the Christian, the child of God, to a tree. The Bible tells us over in Psalms chapter number 1 that God's people, God's children, are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That tree that's planted by the rivers of water, it'll have all that it needs in its life.
It'll bring forth fruit, and it will be a successful tree. I'm reminded as well in the book of Mark, chapter number 8, when Jesus touched a blind man there at the stadium. He said, "I see men as trees walking." I don't think that it's out of context to compare the people of God to trees. He says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. If we as the people of God are the trees of the Lord, then what is this sap? What is this substance that flows through the tree? And we know that sap is a vital part of a tree. It is vitally important for that tree to have that sap flowing throughout its limbs, even down to the fruit and to the leaves. If the sap is not flowing, if the sap is not real, then death will come to that tree. I believe that the sap, it is a picture and it is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know I'm in a Baptist church tonight, but you're looking at a preacher who believes in the Holy Spirit of God. You say, "Preacher, what is he to you?" Well, I know this. I know I can't preach without him. I know all is vain unless he comes by and he begins to move and he begins to work. All within myself, I can do nothing. But when the sap gets to rising in my heart and the Lord begins to work through the moving of the Holy Ghost, business will pick up around the house of God. Oh yes, oh yes, I am nothing without him tonight. I need that good sap of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is not a something, but he is a somebody. He is not something that we use, oh no, but he is somebody that uses us. I'm glad tonight that the day I got saved, the moment of my salvation, when I got up from that altar, the Holy Ghost indwelled in my heart. And thank God he's been there ever since. Hey, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 4 that we are sealed until the day of redemption. What are we sealed by? The good Holy Ghost of God. He says in chapter 5, verse number 18, not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never get filled with the Spirit of God until you're first sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's people talking about a second filling and another baptism. Honey, I ain't got over the first one yet. Hey, when he took up residence in my heart, he hadn't left. He hadn't moved out. He hadn't departed from me. Thank God. The further I go in life, it's not that I'm getting more of the Holy Ghost. I got all I needed when I knelt at salvation. But rather it is that the Holy Ghost, he's getting more of me. I'm not getting more of him. He's getting more of me. He's having his way in my life more. And that's why we're able to do the things of God, not in our own strength, not in our own abilities, but by the good Holy Ghost. Almighty God.
Get back, bro. That's right.
So The psalmist says that sap to a tree is what the Holy Ghost is to you and I. I just want you to notice two or three things about this sap and the tree. I want to say first of all that the sap, it heals the scars of the tree. That sap, it has a healing agent in it that'll help the tree when it has been wounded. I sure am glad that the good Holy Ghost will do that same thing to you and I. He has a healing agent within Him that'll heal us when we have been scarred, when we've been hurt, when we've been wounded. That sap, it heals the wounds that have been left behind by pests. Now, in a tree, a lot of times there'll be different pests that will attack that tree. There's such a thing as a pine beetle that'll bore up under the skin, up under the bark of that tree, and the little larvae will lay there. If left unattended, they will destroy that tree. Anybody got any pests in their lives?
Yeah.
You may not want to say amen. They may be sitting right close to you. But I dare say every one of us has some little pests in our lives. I'm talking about those little insects, those little bitty things, Brother Joe. They get up under our skin and they irritate us. And they'll rob us of the blessings of Almighty God. If left unattended, why, they'll kill you spiritually. They'll rob you of joy, of happiness, of peace. They'll strip you of being a vital tree for God. You'll not produce fruit. If those pests are left unattended. Some of us have the pest of bitterness in our life. That bitterness is bored up in our heart, and it has wounded us. Some have been hurt because of what other church members have done. And it's a pest. It's a constant irritant in their life. Some have the pest of jealousy, of envy, of a strife, of a bad and a hateful spirit. Understand me. They may be a little pest as compared to the tree. But left unattended, they'll kill a tree. They'll kill a tree. Was it Solomon that said it's those little foxes that'll slip through the vines and spoil those tender grapes? It's those little things in our life that are left unattended to that'll rob us of victory and joy and peace that we should have in God. It may be a little old microscopic insect, but friend, it'll cause great damage to the tree. Oh my. Those little pests. Matter of fact, I know more people that are out of church tonight over little pests than I do over big things. Small things. Just small things, but they're never dealt with. They were never took care of in the Christian's life. And it stripped them of what they one time had with God. Just those little pests. Those little things that get up under our skin. I'm glad that the sap has the ability to deal with those pests in our life. When one of those insects, when they begin to bore into that tree,
yep.
when they get up under the skin or the bark of that tree, immediately throughout the system of that tree, there goes a signal, and that sap is rushed to that injured spot. That sap, it begins to flow. In a healthy tree, that sap begins to move. And you know what it'll do? Where that insect, where it made its hole, where it bored in, where it got in under that skin, that sap, it'll come by, it'll coat it, it'll cover up that wounded spot, it'll seal it over, it'll trap the insect, it'll kill that insect, it'll kill the pest on the inside, so that it is no longer affected anymore. Aren't you glad for the good Holy Ghost of God? How can we come, 1 John 1:9, confessing our sins? He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He has a way of coming into our lives when those pests have entered and sealing them off and restricting what they can do.
That's good preaching.
That's what the sap will do.
You're right.
But not only does the sap, does it heal those pests, but it also heals those pollutants that will attack that tree. There are different diseases that'll make its way through the trunk of those trees and can affect them. But then again, there's that sap that comes to the aid. There's a lot of pollutants when you begin to, and boy, don't we have it good in here tonight?
Amen.
The good Holy Ghost is working and He's among us.
Come on.
But boy, out there, there's a whole lot of pollutants.
You're right, brother.
There's a whole lot of sins that can come in.
That's right.
And if we're not careful, they'll infest our lives. You do know there's some things that a Christian can't do. Everything's not right for you to do as a believer. Just because you're saved, and I do believe in eternal security. I do believe I'm sealed till the day of redemption. Couldn't lose my salvation if I wanted to. I'm saved and going to heaven just as much as if I were already in heaven. Matter of fact, He counts me as if I'm already in heaven. I'm saved. I'm not going to lose my salvation regardless of what I do. But there are some sins that will creep into my life and they'll defile my walk with God. But there's never been a time, there's never been a time that a disease has showed up, that a sin has showed up, that the Holy Ghost was not faithful to come to my aid. He's faithful to come and send conviction to my heart and let me know that disease doesn't belong there. You do understand conviction's just not for the sinner. Thank God. Still works in our lives as believers. My Lord God, He'll clamp down on our heart like a set of vice grips. He'll make us so miserable. We can't breathe. We can't eat. We can't sleep. It might be, friend, if you're having problems, it might just be that the Holy Ghost is trying to show you that there's some disease in your life. The Holy Spirit, it's got a healing work. It deals with the pest, and it deals with the pollutants that come our way. I want to say as well, that sap, it also heals from the pruning times come our way. Now, in our front yard, we've got several trees, got several oak trees. And just about any time that the wind blows real hard like it did the other night, man, there'll be all kind of limbs and leaves shook loose in our yard. But not every limb that falls in our lives is from the storm.
There's sometimes that the Lord Himself will show up and do some pruning in our lives. Now, before you look like and before you act like a Pharisee, you don't have the ability to discern whether it's the storm or whether it's the Lord doing the pruning. So you might as well just keep your big Baptist mouth shut and leave all that pruning business up to the Lord. Because it might be this time next week there's some pruning going on in your life. There are times when He sees fit to take some things away. God, has God ever had to cut some things out of your life and you didn't want to see Him go? I mean, this limb, it's getting too heavy. It's weighing you down. It's pulling you to one side. You're growing crooked. You're not growing in the direction that I want you to grow in. That's got to come off.
Yes, sir.
There are things that the Lord will prune out of our lives. But I say again, there's never been a time when He's pruned something out of my life that He's not been faithful to be there to pour in the sap that I need to bring about a healing element in my life. Oh, He doesn't prune us because He's mad at us. He doesn't prune us to get even with us. But He prunes us because He loves us. He cuts things off of our life that will be harmful to us. If we don't get them out ourselves, well, I thank God that the sap of the Holy Ghost is faithful in the pruning times of our lives. Have you
ever been around some of those good brothers and sisters? Seems like they're just crying all the time. Seems like there's something it's just flowing out of them. It's not that anything's wrong, it's just that things are right. And don't get me wrong, we all face troubles and we all face difficulties. I'm glad the good Holy Ghost of God is faithful to be there in our lives regardless of what we face. Regardless of what there is a friend that's sitting closer than a brother. I'm glad He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'm with you always. Matthew 28. Italy. The end of the world. I'm glad He's faithful to be there by our side. You ever got any sap on you? You ever got sap on your hands? Man, it's just going to be there. Gojo won't take it off. Gas won't take it off. Oh, we need some people that'll get the Holy Ghost, that sap on them. And when they brush up against somebody else, it'll rub off on them. They'll get the feeling. They'll get the feeling what we're feeling. They'll get to seeing what we're seeing. Once you get that sap on you, you'll not get off. It'll not come off. Thank God for the good Holy Ghost of God when He gets in alive. He makes changes when He comes into a heart. That individual will never be the same. He's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things have become new. They're brand new. They've got a brand new individual living on the inside of them. That sap, it heals the scars of a tree. We've got several pastors on our farm, and Brother Tater in different places. We'll have to nail barbed wire up to a tree. And if that wire is left out long enough, you know what'll happen? That tree, it'll grow in, it'll take in that wire.
That wire, it'll damage that tree. When you drive a staple, when you drive a nail into a tree, it'll damage it. You know what's going to come out? That sap's going to come out. It's going to cover that wound. It's going to move over that wound. You ever tried to split a piece of wood where it's been damaged? You'll break the axe. You'll break your maul. You'll break whatever you're swinging at it, friend. Why, preacher? Because that tree is stronger where that sap has been and where that sap has moved in than where it has not been. I believe Paul said it like this, that the Lord, he had that, Paul had that infirmity. And he said that, Paul, my grace is sufficient for me, for when you're weak, then are you strong. He said, even though you're weak, Paul, even though you're wounded, but that's the area that you're going to be the strongest in your life. Oh, listen, we don't understand all the scars that affect us. We don't know why they come. We question and wonder why. But I'm glad there's a heavenly pruner in heaven that's got a reason for everything that comes our way. It's making us stronger. It's making us depend on Him more. It's making us run Him. That tree will be stronger where it's been wounded because of the sap that's on the inside of it. You didn't know you could go through what you're going through. You didn't know you could stand what you're standing tonight. I'd remind you, it's not you that's a standing. It's the one that's living on the inside of you standing. Keeping you going. Keeping you pressing on. Keeping you encouraged in these last days. Thank God for the good Holy Ghost. And how that He heals the scars of the tree. Not only does that sap, does it heal the scars of the tree, but that sap as well, it holds the strength of the tree. It helps that tree to be strong. When a tree becomes brittle, when it begins to rot, it's because the sap's not reaching the right places. There is something that is blocking the flow of the sap. Something is hindering and something is damaging the tree. It's amazing. A lot of times, most of the time, you don't see those green limbs fall out of the tree. But it's those old brown, dried up limbs that'll come tumbling down out of the tree. Friend, it's the sap that gives us the strength that we're needing day by day. Can I tell you, it's not about how long you've been in church. It's not about the fact maybe your name is on the roll. It's not about the fact that maybe you were one of the ones that founded Pathway or any other church. That has nothing to do with you being a strong Christian whatsoever. It all comes down to how the sap's flowing in your life. Well, preacher, 30 years ago we used to see this and we used to see that. Now, wait just a minute. God hadn't changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it 30 years ago, He's still able to do it today. If the Lord ever lets me start a church, Brother Joe, I'm going to name it Has-Been Baptist Church.
Come on, brother.
Because all that people want to talk about what has been.
Yeah, you're right.
All that people want to look at is what used to be. Well, you know, it used to be that, hey, the Lord hadn't changed. Oh, but preacher, we're living in the last days. Hey, but the Lord hadn't changed. He's still able to send revival. He's still able to help us. He's still able to change souls. It is He that holds the strength of the tree and not ourselves. It's not in our own ability to prop ourselves up. But it's in the ability of the Holy Ghost of God. And the only way He's going to bless anything is where He has the preeminence. It's not about me and it's not about you, but it's all about Him. And when He is pushed aside, understand me, He is a gentleman. He will leave the building. He'll let Revelation chapter number 3. He's on the outside of the door, knocking, wanting to gain access. And the church of Laodicea, Laodicea means right of the people, by the people. That's where we're living today. In the Laodicean church age, everybody wants it their way. Hey, God's house is not like Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's got to be in obedience and in accord and in command with the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. Botanists did a study on trees. They created a dome. And in this dome, those trees had everything they needed. They had all the minerals. They had all the water. They had the perfect growing conditions on the inside of this dome. But the botanists recognized this fact, that once those trees reached a certain height, every one of them began to die. Every one of them died. And they began to do research. And they found that the reason that they were dying was because there was an absence of the wind. The wind didn't, and that's another illustration. You know exactly where I'm going with it.
Yep.
They say that. Hallelujah. Those trees need that wind to blow on them. When the wind blows against those trees, they begin to sway. They begin to move back and forth. And they say on the inside of that tree, microscopic, little tiny, tiny tears are made on the inside of that tree. That causes that sap to begin to rise. Causes that sap to begin to move, to begin to flow. Without the wind, no wind, they'll die. Without the wind, we'll die. Without Him moving, without Him stirring, we'll dry up. We'll never mature. We'll never be nurtured as we should. In case you don't know what the wind is, it's another picture of the Holy Ghost. He's got to blow on us. He's got to strengthen us. Without adversity, without trials, without troubles, we'll end up being weak, malnourished, and immature. No fruit will be produced from that kind of a tree. When that sap begins to move, oh, that it would move one more time in our churches. God is able to send that sap and move and work in this day. But it's going to take His trees lining up with His wind to move us in the right direction that we need to go. That sap, it holds the strength of the tree. It heals the scars Oh, aren't you glad for the good Holy Ghost, child of God? Aren't you glad that He lives on the inside of you? One more thing, and I'm done. I see in that sap. That sap, it helps the substance of the tree. The sap is what produces the fruit out of that tree. That fruit is on the inside of that tree all along. The whole time. And it takes that sap to push that fruit out. It takes that sap. It takes the Holy Ghost moving in our lives in order for us to produce fruit. Well, preacher, what's so important about fruit? Well, the Lord said that by your fruits you'll be known as a Christian. What is coming out of your life? Young folks, what kind of fruit you producing in your life? You know, an apple tree is an apple tree because it produces apples. An apple tree doesn't bring forth fruit, doesn't bring forth peaches. You're known by the fruit that you bear. There is a process that starts way down deep in that tree. That sap does not originate in the leaves. But the sap originates down in the roots. Down in the tap roots. And that sap, it works its way upward out to the leaves and out to push out the fruit. I'm afraid there's too many of us that are worried about how all our leaves look, and we're not worried about having any kind of tap root upon us. We're more worried, we're more concerned about the outside looking good, but from what I read in the Word of God, the more the outside's broken up, the more the inside will be strong. The more that we're hurt, and the more that we're harmed, and the more troubles and trials and difficulties that we go through on the outside, the stronger we are on the inside. There's a process that begins deep down on the inside. Deep down in the heart. In the heart of that tree. It begins to bring forth fruit. It begins to push out that fruit. You know, I've never seen this. I've never seen an apple tree straining. I've never seen an apple tree straining to produce fruit. Fruit is a natural process. Fruit happens in the life of that tree because it is a tree and because the sap is moving like it should. Now listen to me. Here's a spiritual application for that. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, meekness toward God, those last three toward God, the middle three toward man, the first three toward God, toward what, love, joy, and peace toward God. We have that relationship with God that involves love, joy, and peace toward the lost and a dying world that sees us. That is not something a child of God has to strain at.
No. You're right.
If you're struggling to love, something's not right.
You're right.
If it's a struggle to have the joy of the Lord in your heart, something's not right. If it's a struggle to have peace, something's not right. You don't have to strain. No, that sap just pushes that fruit out. It becomes evident. It becomes seen. It becomes known in our lives. Now I ask you again, what kind of fruit you producing? We'll never be able to understand how important fruit is in our lives. fruit tells us, fruit tells God a lot about us and a lot about ourselves. If we're healthy, we're going to produce quality fruit. I was raised in our backyard, we had an apple tree. And it was one of those that bear those little green apples. And man, I could eat my weight in them things when I was a kid. I used to love eating those things. They didn't get probably about that big around, but they got mature. It was a healthy tree. But then down the road, my granddaddy, he had another apple tree. And that thing, it just never would produce apples. I mean, it'd make them little old knotty things. As a kid, you couldn't even bite into them. That's the sour. That's the green. They never would get ripe. That tree, it just never did produce. And you see, that's the way a lot of Christians are. We just have old bitter fruit. It ain't good for anything. Just to be cast on the ground. Oh, how precious it is to be able to go up to one of those trees and pick off something that's ripe. Oh, when God sees the fruit of our life, He's well pleased with it, friend. Is He well pleased with what He sees in you? What He sees in me? Oh, friend, the trees of the Lord, they're full of sap. I wonder, could it be said of you, you a sappy Christian? You got that sap just flowing in your life. Sinner friend, are you here tonight lost without the Lord?
Come on.
You don't understand what I'm talking about all this sap business. You don't understand about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you who He is. He's the third part of the Godhead tonight. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We want to say, well, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. No, they're three, but they're one. They're one, but they're three.
Yep.
They're co-equal, they're co-eternal, they're co-existent, and they're all three. One, but they're all three. One. They're all three manifested in a different person. And the Holy Ghost takes up residence on the inside of a believer's heart when they are saved. If you've ever been saved, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. If you're lost, He's probably troubling you right now. I've been in that state. I've been in that condition. Something just grip your heart. Everything else just fades from memory. Friend, that's God talking to you. That's the Lord speaking to your heart. And if you don't know Him tonight, oh, you'll never have a better opportunity to meet Him. I've preached to you about the Holy Ghost of God, how He wants to work, how He wants to be real in our lives. And I'm through with this. Come on around, brother, be getting a song ready. Holy Ghost will be just as real to you as you'll let Him be. As a matter of fact, tonight you're just as close to God as you want to be. You're producing rotten fruit because your life's rotten, friend. You're producing stale and stagnant fruit that is of no account because that's what's coming out of your life. That's what you're taking into your life. If you'll come tonight and let the Lord do a work in you, friend, He'll change you forever. You can bring forth good fruit. More fruit. John 15, the Lord said. He wants us to be a fruitful Christian. I wonder where the message finds you tonight. That's what the Lord touched my heart with. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for liberty.